The thing about your resistance is, while resisting, you are locked in, unable to break free. You create nothing new. Written by Christopher Boswell, read by James Bacon. Quote, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Mark Twain. Out in the field working. I'm going to write a book on it, I told my buddy Thane a decade ago, while we were working on a Gatorade project in a nationwide grocery store chain. The assistant store manager had just given us a hard time, even though we had a letter of permission to complete work in his and 40 other stores in the chain. The store management had been sent an email from corporate alerting them we would be coming. I did the best selling job on him I could, mentioning the manager's name in the store we had just come from, showing him the company logo on the letterhead his corporate office had given us. No luck. He resisted. I tried some more, saying if we had to move on, we may not be able to come back, having a 3-state list of stores to complete. At that point, he shot me a dirty look and asked if I had a business card. Maybe I had gone too far. I handed him the card. He made us wait for a half hour while he tried to call the corporate office. We were being paid per job completion, so this effectively reduced our pay. We would not earn any money as we waited for the uninformed manager. We decided the timing would be good for some lunch. Quote, the resistance that you fight physically in the gym and the resistance that you fight in life can only build a strong character. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just doing our jobs. We were tasked with resetting the entire Gatorade section. In most stores, this was a 5 gondolas stacked floor to top with heavy liquid-filled sports drinks. It was no small feat, especially while the store was open and customers needed to shop the narrow aisle we would be in. As we looked at the area planning our attack, he finally came to give us the go-ahead, then barked some commands to make sure we knew who was running the show. Thane and I looked at each other. The same thoughts were swirling in our heads as we began to work, and I muttered an insincere thank you. We hope he could not hear, as one of us said something about short man syndrome, the other some joke about Napoleon. That's when I said, I'm going to write a book about resistance. Thane replied, you should. I'll be the first to read it. He's a good wingman. Resistance everywhere. A close friend and I took a shop class in 7th grade about electricity or something. I remember the teacher on the first day, all gruff-like, wrote something on the board. In chalk, ACDC, it said. Then he asked if any of us knew what those symbols stood for. Both our hands went up, Larry's and mine, as the teacher laughed, knowing for sure none of us would know the answer. Then he looked out, wondering which of us to pick. He decided to humiliate us both, he thought, calling on Larry first. You in the plaid shirt, he said, not knowing our names yet. Soon he would. Go ahead and tell us what AC stands for. Alternating current, Larry correctly answered, as I smiled, pushing my hand up higher. The teach looked disgruntled. How about you, Goldilocks? What does DC stand for? He asked. The class laughed. I had long hair and took pride in it. I waited for a minute to answer. This pleased him, as he thought he had me. Direct current, I replied, about as loud as I could without yelling, looking over at my friend Larry as he smiled. Larry had a next-door neighbor who was into all kinds of radios and electrical stuff, and we were too. We knew all about current and electrical voltage. The teacher moved on to explain what we were in for. His first lesson was on resistance, and he showed us how to measure it with a meter. Too much resistance in an electrical circuit, and it heats up, burns out, and fails. This is key to my message here and bears repeating. too much resistance in a circuit, and it heats up, burns out, and fails. Quote, each time a man stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Robert Kennedy. Resistance in us. Fast forward 30 years, back to the grocery store. One of the reasons this phenomenon has appeared to me is because of projects like the Gatorade Reset. Interacting in hundreds of different stores doing the same project, it's the same me every time, the same approach, using the same words I have refined over decades, the lines I know work the best for getting fast access to the location. The majority of folks respond with a, sure thing, let us know if you need anything. This is curious to me. Why do some choose to resist, even when they don't have to lift a finger or do anything? Of course, I've had them make it about me. I'm too late, or have a red shirt on instead of a blue one, or whatever. It has appeared again and again. Many times, while experiencing resistance, I can find the right word. Something that those listening had to hear that unlocked the door creating and allowing within them. It was resistance that got Bill Gates the chance to write the first version of DOS for IBM back in 1980. Gates had actually sent IBM to a competitor because he didn't think Microsoft was ready. Resistance. That company turned IBM down, resistance, as they were intimidated by all the lawyers in suits and the multi-page contract. IBM finally went back to Gates, who decided he was not going to give them another chance, and he signed the contract. Of course, the rest is a real success story. Founder of EST, Earhart Seminar Training, later morphing into Landmark Education, says, what you resist persists. Indeed, it's true. Thane and I persisted in sticking around to do our job at the grocery store. All the manager achieved with his resistance is opening an opportunity for breakdown to occur, plus wasting his time. He also wasted at least three other people's time. To achieve what? Here's what Lisa Quast said in her Forbes article titled, Overcome the Five Main Reasons People Resist Change. While many people joke that the only constant in business is change, change has an interesting way of affecting people that can often result in resistance. This resistance can range from fairly subtle, such as avoiding or passive-aggressive behavior, all the way to outright defiance, hostility, and sabotage. Quote, I assess the power of a will by how much resistance, pain, torture it endures and knows how to turn to its advantage. Friedrich Nietzsche. More about resistance. Lisa goes on in her article and lists five reasons she thinks resistance shows up in the workplace. Fear of the unknown, surprise, mistrust, loss of job security, control, bad timing, and an individual's predisposition toward change. I would have to agree. And on timing, I've noticed something to corroborate her findings over and over in my working history. Have you ever entered a restaurant or a ma-and-pa retail store in the last 15 minutes before they close? Have you felt the resistance? Many times, visible evidence of their disgust appears, having already prepared to make a mad dash for the door 2 minutes after closing. The restaurant worker may even say, do you know we close in 15 minutes? I'm not staying after that to get spit in my food. Or, notice the resistance in you to do any more work on a late afternoon at the office when there is a company holiday day off coming up. It's not enough that you're getting a paid holiday. You could likely be spending the last hours after lunch planning what to do with your paid day off. The last general manager job I had was in a furniture store. A few weeks in, I started to notice the neon open sign was being turned off sometime around 7 p.m. The only problem was we were open until 8 p.m. A little perplexed, I would just go turn it back on. I really didn't get it until about the fifth time. As I pulled the chain that turned the light on, a couple in their car was backing out of the parking lot. They saw me turn the sign back on and reverse direction. They had come to see us, saw the sign, and were going to drive away. I was not happy. Welcoming them in, they said they would be quick, knowing we were closing soon. I made a big deal out of answering them loudly, saying, "Please take your time. We don't close with folks needing furniture inside. We will stay as long as you need us to, even 9 or 10 o'clock. They were immediately endeared to me, knowing it was sincere. They felt comfortable, shopped, and bought, wanting nothing to do with any other salesperson. One of the expectations of the man who hired me was for me to turn things around. The store's sales were faltering. Now I knew at least one reason why. I decided to assist the couple myself, and as soon as the staff members saw that I was making a sale, they all wanted in. As a manager, I did not receive commission, but the salespeople did at the rate of 6%. The sale was finished by 8 p.m., our regular closing time, and it was for $3,000. The salespeople, who were before resistant to help anyone in fear they would have to stay past 8, now were upset they were losing $180, a whole day's pay in the last hour. More resistance. As everyone left and I was closing the store, I made a note to myself about the next morning's meeting. It had three notes: neon sign, closing sign, and strobe light. Quote, "The path of least resistance and least trouble is a mental rut already made. It requires troublesome work to undertake the alteration of old beliefs." John Dewey. The next morning, I queried the staff about the open sign being turned off. There was a long pause and a room full of blank stares, so I simply informed them of the company policy and my expectations. One salesperson, likely the guilty party, spoke up. He said, "Chris, I have a family I need to get home to. I can't stay past 8 p.m. I saved my reply to him for a later private meeting. They were lucky. The last store I had managed was open until 9 p.m. I did a little math calculation around what that last hour might mean to the store's annual sales. Our average sale was $1,000. There was a good chance that at least one more sale for the day could be made if they were present to our customers. My expectation was for the light to stay on until our sign advertised. It said 8 p.m. It was a matter of integrity. They would stop coming if we were closed when supposedly open. I went on to communicate that if a customer was to sneak in at 7:59, we would make them feel comfortable, no rush, while they shopped our 50,000 square feet of home interior offerings. One more thing I told them, it's a manager's function to turn on and off the open sign. It was now off limits and I would be watching. One more sale each day of $1,000 times 365 days would equal $365,000 in sales. Well over $250,000. That amount could make or break a store's year, keeping it afloat and able to cover the payroll of some ungrateful salespeople. Or they could kill it with their self-centered behavior. They were visibly unimpressed by my presentation. A few days later, I mounted a strobe light in the entry. We got a whole lot busier after dark. The following year, sales were up 15%. My boss was very happy. Well, I've sailed right past 2,000 words. I better let you get on to the next thing. I hope you found some value in this article. Until next time, cheers, Christopher.
Copyright 2020, Christopher Boswell, all rights reserved.